Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to episode 18, I believe, of This Week in the Hawks. My name is Graham, of course. And yeah, it's a beautiful day. Well, it's grey slash sunny when the sun wants to come out. On my end, I don't know what it's like for you. I'm sure in Atlanta it's hot and sticky, getting close to the summertime. But hey, things could be worse, and you know, I think things could be worse for the Hawks. Oh, wait, another cold intro for you. How about that? things are looking all right for the Hawks. Back 2-2 after winning Game 4 in Atlanta, taking care of home court, heading back to Washington tonight for Game 5, pivotal Game 5, really. I love Game 5s, I really do. Like, you know, especially when the series is tied at 2 games apiece. Because Game 5, someone's going up 3-2. You know, someone is on the verge, on the brink of going through to the next round. The other team is elimination. It's an elimination game, Game 6. Because, you know, you have your Game 1s. Like, you know, if you go 1-0 or you go 2-1 up. Or, you know, those aren't definitive. But Game 5s, when you're 2 games apiece, those are definitive. Because, you know, someone is staring down the barrel in Game 6. So the Wizards have the advantage of being at home, obviously, because they finished ahead of the Hawks in the seasons in the standings. So they'll have a crack at it. No team is beating each other on their own floor. And they always say that the series doesn't really start until someone wins a game on the road. So we'll have to see what happens there. But, you know, I guess kind of before we get to Game 4 and kind of setting ahead for Game 5, as we said, the Hawks have good momentum. You know, they have the momentum heading into this game. It's gonna be interesting now that they've kind of, I think they've figured things out a little bit. Well, I guess we'll see either if they figured things out for good or if it was just a matter of both teams just kind of feeding off their energy at their home floor there. So we'll have to wait and see. But let's just throw back to Game 4, which took place on Monday. It was a very interesting game, definitely a tense game, I would say, as well. 111-101, the Hawks took it in the end. they put a killer second quarter together when they outscored the Wizards at 31-15 there, having trailed by like 9 in the first quarter, maybe even the second. I can't remember, but they put a killer quarter together, the Hawks. The Wizards turned the ball over quite a bit and kind of led to a lot of points. So that was... And the Hawks took advantage of that, at least in the second quarter. I know Kent Bazemore had a few there as well. And Wizards come back third quarter, outscore the Hawks by 9, I believe, to tie the game going into the fourth. And then the Hawks outscore the Wizards 34-24 there to finish this game off. It was, yeah, I wasn't sure about the Hawks' execution, how it would go. But, you know, they got the stops they needed. Dennis Schroeder finally got himself going after his foul trouble. Good Lord, his foul trouble in the first half. I understand that Bud was about to take him out, but maybe you got to switch him off ball before he picks up that third foul, even if he's on 2. But, you know, thankfully for the Hawks, yeah, Jose Calderon came in, and even though he did pick up 3 fouls, you know, the Hawks just kind of stuck with him, and he had a real spark. Like, he was fired up for this game, was Jose Calderon, and had a good impact too. Yeah, he scored 10 points and was a plus 29. Plus 29. Jose Calderon in 2017 in a playoff game. That's very strange. But, you know, he came in, had a spark, and yeah, missed a few chippies here and there, but came in, had a great impact, and then Dennis Schroeder came back in the third and scored 18 points in the second half there, including some big threes. There in he had a big one in the fourth, but I would like to see him take a few less 3-pointers. I mean, 2 of 6 was Schroeder in from 3 in this game. maybe drag that back a little bit, but it was a very balanced effort from the Hawks. You had 7 players scoring double digits in a playoff game. I believe that was the first time since, I want to say, 86. It was the stat I saw. It was in the 80s anyway. We had Schroeder at 18, Tim Hardaway Jr. at 15. Torian Prince with 11, and Prince becomes the first Hawks rookie for a long time to score in double digits in his first 4 playoff games. He had 11. Millsap had 19. Dwight had 16. Baze had 16. And Calderon had 10. So Great effort from everyone. It'd be nice to have kind of your Millsaps and Shooters go for 20 plus, but things considered, I think everyone did a great job chipping in here as well. Especially Dwight, you know, finally Dwight kind of made an impact. To be fair, game three, you know, even though he didn't score a lot, he's still limiting kind of Marcin Gortat as well. Kind of that their defense of him has been much better. Gortat had 2 points in game three and only 2 points here in game four. Whereas Dwight, you know, he's got to take a little bit of responsibility for, holding Gortat as low as he was in game three and game four. Except this time, Hawks did a much better. Well, to be fair, Dwight, Dwight decided to get himself going first, which is fine. But there are some nasty possessions of Dwight, you know, aggressive Dwight in the post going against Marcin Gortat. I mean, I hate those so much. I mean, sure, he can do it, but it's not elegant at all. I mean, when you had Morris on him, I was like, go for it. You know, you backed him down. Morris flopped a bit, wanted the offensive foul. They're not going to call that. And Dwight just dunked it home. But I don't like the idea of him backing down Gortat. But Gortat's a big dude. He's not going to be backed down so easily. But it's just Dwight kind of looking for something, looking to get involved. It's just aggressive. And then the Hawks, especially Kent Bazemore, found him with a couple of just rim-destroying dunks, lobs for him. Once I really got the crowd into it, which I think really helps, especially in the second quarter there. And kind of speaking of Bazemore, 16 points, he had a good night shooting the ball. 3 of 8 from three. I don't know. It's just under 40%, but that seems a little many, but 7 assists for Baze, at least 5 of them coming in the first half. And he did a great... I think it was game 2. You know, they put the ball in his hands a little bit in a no-point guard lineup, and he was woeful. He had those 2 possessions where he turned it over back-to-back, and and the Wizards scored off of both of them, and Bud called a timeout immediately, and Baze was sent to the bench. But much better job in game 4 here, kind of facilitating and, you know, just finding guys and just in general just handling the ball, you know, facilitating. Did a great job of that, Bazemore. And you know, he had 2 big ones to Dwight there that really got the crowd into it, got Dwight into it. And you know, when you get Dwight involved, you know, you're going to get more defensively from Dwight. And he had a nice block in the third, I think it was in the third quarter there. Yes, it was the third quarter there. So, you know, just, yeah, it was just good to get him involved and Baze just, but it was probably one of the few games this season where Baze has actually kind of played to his contract, because it's a hefty contract that he signed back in July, and he's been struggling for a lot of the season, but that was a great performance from Bazemore. And you know, there's great performances to be had across the board. You know, Prince again, 11 points, 5 of 7 from the field. Millsap had a great game, even though he only scored 19 points. Did dish out 7 assists, 9 rebounds, and 2 steals in there as well. As well as just absolutely, not clowning, but he did a great job just kind of getting Markieff Morris, again, nullifying him. Morris had only 9 points in this game, more foul trouble for Morris in this game. And, Morris may have gotten himself a little bit excited. You know, this is his first playoff series ever. He's a chippy guy, a tough guy, as we know from his Phoenix days and more recently with the Wizards. But probably not the smartest idea to kind of start talking shit to Millsap and about Millsap. You know, obviously those crybaby comments didn't help. He had the whole double MMA. Because ever since game two, since game two and onwards, Millsap has absolutely schooled him. Like, he really has. And if the Wizards lose this series, it'd be funny trying to see those fans on Twitter. See how they... for flip's sake, we lost because Morris started talking shit to Millsap. So, unfortunately, like, Millsap loves this kind of thing as well. Like, Millsap says, it's weird how he operates, you know, he doesn't really take offense to things, but if you start talking shit to him, he will just, it's very strange how he goes about it, but he loves the competition. He loves when someone's jawing at him because he'll get to do it back. And he won't necessarily jaw back, but as much as, say, the person who's giving it to him, but he'll just go out and just, because he's just got such an array of great moves, as Millsap, offensively, that he can just kind of put you to work in so many different ways. And you saw him, you know, he got Markieff with a spin there, I think, in the first half to get him his second or third foul. But just, yeah, Millsap just loves this. I think he loves all this. And he's rising up to the challenges, Millsap. I was concerned that, you know, that maybe Morris would get in his head a little bit and he'll try a little too hard to kind of go out of his way to get Morris and kind of get them out that way. It hasn't really happened, but yeah, I think Millsap loves it. And he's rising to the occasion, which is the great thing for everyone involved here. Other performances, Tim Hardaway Jr. had 15 points. I wasn't huge on Timmy's performance, more so defensively. He did take some pretty bad shots in this game as well, did Timmy, but you know, he got there, 15 points. 6 of 12 from the field and 3 of 5 from the field is pretty good. He was doing better fighting over those Gortat Beal screens. Unfortunately, it kind of didn't really help because Beal just went off. And that's not necessarily Tim's fault. Beal just had a really good game. But I wasn't mad about some of the defensive things that Tim did this game. But he was fine. You know, he was grand. Ilyasova at 6 points. Again, Hawks bench coming through over the Wizards. 23-12. Or sorry. That's a little much. 32-23 is what that number is. Again, it's another great game, taking care of the ball. Only 12 assists. Flip's sake. Only 12 turnovers for the Hawks. 24 assists to go along with that. So that was good. Good to see that. That has to carry over into Washington if they're going to have a chance to win Game 5. Because that was the big issue in Games 1 and 2 was turnovers and points off turnovers. So Hawks, how many turnovers did they have? They had in Game 1... They had 21 turnovers in Game 1, which led to 23 Wizards points. And in Game 2, it was 18 turnovers led to 23 Wizards points. So that was kind of... in games where you lose by 7 or 8 points, those are big. So if the Hawks take care of the ball in Game 5, they got a good chance to win that. But we'll kind of get to that. Is there anything else from Game 4 that was that I liked? That kind of stood out? We mentioned Baze's playmaking, Dwight kind of finally getting involved there, Calderon, you know, did a good job. Hawks were kind of lucky in a way, because Beal, even though he scored 32 points on 11 of 23 from the field, and 5 of 14 from 3, he could have had so much more, did Bradley Beal. There was quite a number of chances where he, like, good chances for Bradley Beal, that just didn't go down. Some open, some semi-contested, but you know, Beal had a lot of good looks that he did make in Game 4, and Hawks caught a break in that regard. They really did. Wall, 22 points, 7 of 19 from the field. Good job from getting back in transition to Wall. They did foul him at times, but, you know, I'd rather that than make him earn it rather than, just let him have the layup or dump it off to someone else. So that was a better job in that regard. Porter had one of his better games of this series with 13 points. It's kind of been strange how he's been outplayed by Taurean Prince in this series. It really is. That was something I was not expecting, mainly because Prince is less obviously he hadn't, hadn't played in the playoffs. He's a rookie, less experienced than Porter, who's kind of, this is like his, I think it's his third postseason now, 4 seasons for him. So he's been there, Porter, and he's been deep enough. 2 trips to the second round where Wizards are both knocked out by the Pacers, both those seasons. So, he's not inexperienced. Well, to be fair, Porter wasn't really doing much in those first two playoff trips. In fact, there was the 2015 playoffs where he kind of basically saved his career in that first round series against the Raptors. So, but even still, he's still more experienced than Prince. You'd expect Porter, given the season that he's had, kind of a breakout season, kind of I'm here to stay kind of NBA season for Porter. You'd expect him to have outplayed Prince here, but that hasn't been the case. But he did have a better game. Yeah, just the scrappiness from the hustle from the Hawks was really there in this game. Something that was missing in the first two games. You got to see when Schroeder dive into the floor. A bunch of guys. I think there was one with coming one with Dwight. Guys are scrapping, guys are fighting. And that's kind of something that was missing, because the Wizards were doing all those little things in games one and two. That kind of set them apart a little bit. So it's good to see the Hawks now doing these things that they need to do to kind of, what did he call them? Intangibles? Things like that. Crowd was great in this game as well. The crowd was really into it. A lot of people said that, some people were saying that it was the best crowd since the 2015 home game against the Warriors. I don't know if I'd go that far, but they were definitely into it, which was really good, and definitely into it from the beginning. So that was really good to see. You know, they go, you know, like Sir Foster giving them great tunes as well. Shout out to Sir Foster, of course. I think that's really about it. And look at some of the other stats. Only 30 points in the paint for the Wizards compared to the Hawks, 44. 12 three-pointers made for the Hawks. That's big. In games one and two, because you consider in games one and two, the Hawks combined for what they had. They had 7 in game one and 4 in game two. So that's 11 of their first two games. And they had 12 in game four. So better in that department from the Hawks there. So, yeah, good win. Excellent win. Because, in fact, it was a must win. Because if they had gone down 3-1 heading back to Washington for game five, you could almost pretty much kiss this series goodbye, really. But now, great chance. Momentum's on their side. And let's kind of throw ahead to that game. No Jan Mahimi for the Wizards, something the Hawks have been really fortunate in, because Mahimi, you know, when Gortat's off the is off the court, that rim protection isn't really there for the Wizards, and that's something that Mahimi gives with the second unit, but he hasn't been healthy. I believe it's a strained calf, so he hasn't been able to come in and enforce the rim like that. So Hawks have taken advantage, and they'll continue to take advantage of that with the second unit, hopefully. Other bits and bobs. I guess the key, keep the turnovers low. Because to be fair, I have to say, the Hawks, so the two teams, like both these teams have lost on the road. The Hawks have been the team that have been more likely to kind of win a game on the road. They've looked more likely to win the game on the road than the Wizards have. And the Wizards, they were blown out start to finish in game three. And game four, they were close coming into the fourth quarter, but you know, they didn't, you know, the Hawks didn't really look like they're in too much danger once they kind of made their run. And with the Wizards, it was, those first two games were quite close. And, you know, you look at the Hawks, you know, had they kind of limited their turnovers, they could have won, perhaps should have won one of those games. They were competing for both those games. So they've looked a better team on the road, the Hawks have, than the Wizards have looked on the road. So I think that's really encouraging. They have their adjustments made. I think there's more to come from both teams, you know, kind of throw, because it wasn't really until game five of last year's playoff series where we really saw the Hawks kind of enforce their adjustment. Their big adjustment was in game five, coming back to Phillips against the Celtics last year, was when they kind of just absolutely blitzed pretty much every single Isaiah Thomas pick and roll and make someone else make a shot, because he had like 10 or 12 points in game five, having had like 40 something, like 41 or 42 in game four, or something big like that. So interesting what the Wizards will do. They need help, the Wizards, outside of Wall and Beal, because they haven't got that in these two games. Like, Porter's been okay. Morris and Gortat have given them very little. But Bogdanović was the bench player that actually produced for them in game four. Jennings only had 5 points, but he was active in the first two games. There was Jennings as well. So Wizards need help, whereas the Hawks kind of have players who, like, they can do it by committee. You know, they've got, you could get Ilyasova score 18 points. We haven't really seen that so far. Bazemore can have these games where he scores 16. You have to figure Dwight will be more of a feature now in this game, hopefully, than he has in the first two games. Prince has been scoring double digits all series long. Millsap is going to do his thing. Hopefully, Schroeder, like, and the Hawks, remember, the Hawks won by 10 points here, with Schroeder playing only 28 minutes and scoreless in the first half. You know, that's probably not going to happen again. So he's going to be looking at probably 20 or more points in game four, you'd imagine. And Tim Hardaway Jr., well, it's kind of hit or miss with Timmy, isn't it? But I mean, the Hawks, I think they have more guys who can score than the Wizards. You know, outside of the starting five for the Washington, the only other guys that can score double digits are Jennings and Bogdanović. And neither of them have scored double digits in the same game. So it's going to be interesting, because you even add to that, you know, Wizards don't have enough guys that can score on their own. And then you add, you know, Gortat is struggling. Morris has gotten foul trouble. You know, they need all these guys, the Wizards, to score. And as you can see, when they don't, they run into difficulties. So I think the Hawks have the advantage in that regard. But gotta limit Beal, gotta limit Wall a little bit more, because Beal, 32 points, like, he's had the killer series. Bradley Beal, 32 points in game, and they could have had so much more in game four. So that's going to be tough, but you know, same as games three and four, ball has to move. You know, the Hawks have averaged over 20 assists here in these two games, 26 in game three, 24 in game four. They had more turnovers than assists in games one and two. That can't happen. So the Hawks do these things right. They have a great chance to win game five. I think the Hawks are in a great position here, and I wouldn't have said that after game two, but I think momentum is on their side. I think they know they can beat the Wizards. I think they know how to beat the Wizards, and I think, you know, all those things, you know, if they take care of the ball, if they make a few threes, like if they made six or seven threes, maybe obviously you'd like more than that, but make some threes, they've been doing a great job getting to the line in this game, or in this series, move the ball, keep the turnovers down. You know, they do these things, and the things that they've done in games three and four, they have a fantastic chance to win game five, because they were quite close in games one and two, and that was when, you know, the ball wasn't really moving. They had more turnovers and assists. They turned the ball over so much then, and that led to Washington points. You know, these kind of things that they did, and despite them kind of doing those things poorly in games one and two, they only lost both those games by a combined margin of 15 points. You know, 7 in game one, 8 in game two. They have a great opportunity, the Hawks, they really do. Yeah, I think the pressure will be on Washington, because they know they're home, but you know, you'd be expected to win game five at home. They're coming off the pressure that, you know, they've lost two straight. Momentum's on the Atlanta side. And so and obviously if they don't win, they're really staring down the barrel going back on the road for game six, where the Hawks have looked so much better than the Wizards, really. So it's going to be fascinating. I look forward to it. It's tip-off is at, I think it's 6:30 or 6 tonight, Eastern time, which is fantastic, because that is like 11 GMT. So I do think the Hawks have a fantastic chance to win this game. If they can somehow pull through in this series, they have a great chance to get to the conference finals, because I really think they could have the measure of this. I think they just match up much better against the Celtics than they do against the Wizards. This would be the big hurdle to overcome. But look, we'll focus on game five. All the keys I mentioned there, if they can do those well, they have a great chance to win this game. They really do. But look, that's going to do it for this week in the Hawks. I said last week I would be back on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or something, but I got a bit busy. It's been a very busy playoff period in many ways, inside and outside of basketball. But I'm hoping, I don't know what game six is on Friday, I think. So maybe we'll come back for Thursday or something, or maybe just before, set you up for a game six on Friday. Hopefully. I'm not going to commit, because life's been busy. But game five tonight, DC, let's go Hawks. I think they can do it. I think they can do it. And so if you enjoyed, you know, give it a retweet. I otherwise appreciate that. And yeah, enjoy the game.